This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest. On the bigger picture, I'm T. Xiao Ik with Shamila Gunnison and Lim Soo Ann in the studio. We have two stories for you today. The first up is an update on the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak. So China has confirmed that the virus can be transmitted from humans to humans, and they have just confirmed a fourth fatality as well. So with that fatality, four deaths and more than 200 people infected just in China, and a handful of cases in other countries as well, we are looking at whether we need to go on high alert.
So following that, Chinese New Year is right around the corner, and with people being ready to usher in the year of the rat, there are worries that pet shops will see a spike in demand for pet rodents. But the impulse buying of pets can often cause more harm than good.
But first, we are looking at the Wuhan outbreak, the pneumonia outbreak in China. So it's caused by a novel coronavirus, which has been named the 2019 nCoV, just to give it a sort of label. Mm-hmm. And it has now infected, as we said earlier, more than 200 people in China and has killed four, in fact. So the latest fatality was an 89-year-old man who developed symptoms on the 13th of January and was admitted to hospital 5 days later after he experienced severe breathing difficulties, and he subsequently passed away on the 19th of January. So the patient has been reported to have had underlying health diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, and coronary heart disease. So I think that gives you an idea of who would be at high risk of complications from this kind of pneumonia.
And most of the cases have been reported in Wuhan, hence the name Wuhan virus on all the news articles, and that's the city where the outbreak originated. However, infections have also been reported in places like Beijing, in the southern Chinese province of Guangdong, and just yesterday in Shanghai. And beyond China's borders as well, the virus has been detected in countries like South Korea, Thailand, and also Japan.
And the latest update is that 15 medical personnel in China have been infected with the virus, and one of them is critically ill. So this confirms the World Health Organization's suspicions that the virus can be transmitted from human to human and not just from animal to human.
Yeah, and the virus originally crossed the species barrier coming from infected animals at a seafood and wildlife market in Wuhan. So those who were infected in the early stages were found to either have worked or even shopped at the market.
Yeah, they would have handled the animals, and so that's probably how it was transmitted. I mean, you know, part of the reason that the number of people being diagnosed is increasing is simply that there's just heightened sensitivity towards it. And, you know, with more people being aware of it, and with governments, especially in China, being on alert, there is increased searching and testing for the virus among people with symptoms like fever and coughing.
And with Chinese New Year around the corner, of course, health authorities everywhere are on alert due to the increased travelling that will be taking place. And in Wuhan, healthcare workers are spread out across the city of 11 million, and they're screening for symptoms among people on planes, at railway stations. Countries across the world have also stepped up screening among arriving passengers. So Singapore has been screening all passengers arriving from China, while international airports in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco started screening from late last Friday.
Yeah, and here in Malaysia, the preparedness and response team is also on high alert at all international entry points and health facilities. So if you're traveling in KLIA, you would see those thermal scanners. And the quarantine center at the airport is also prepared for travelers who have been screened and those who may require further attention. So earlier today, I spoke with Prof. Jamal Aiching Sam from the Department of Medical Microbiology in University of Malaya to find out how we can protect ourselves from the Wuhan virus. But first, I asked him, what is a coronavirus and how does it affect the body?
So coronaviruses are a big group of viruses which mainly affect mammals, mainly bats and birds, but some of them have evolved so that they can affect other mammals, including humans. So there's about seven at the moment that are known to affect humans. Four of them cause, so they all cause respiratory infections, but four of them cause common, like the common cold with a bit of runny nose and so on. And the three that cause more serious infections, lung infections, are this novel coronavirus, mm-hmm. And others that, you know, we would have heard of, like SARS coronavirus and Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus, which is MERS coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So they all generally cause respiratory infections, but mm-hmm. the severity differs,
mm-hmm.
And they all initially came from other mammals.
How dangerous are they to humans? Because now we're hearing that 4 people have died. Is it normally quite fatal?
Well, the 4 that cause the common cold are much more common. Those are the ones that most of us will be exposed to. And generally, they just cause very mild disease, you know, a bit of sore throat and a bit of runny nose. But of course, these 3 are a bit more well-known. And they are dangerous, of course, but it looks like the current novel coronavirus in this early stages doesn't seem to be as dangerous as MERS, which has a death rate of about 30%, and SARS, which had a death rate of about 10%. So far, this novel coronavirus, there's been 4 deaths reported in about 200-plus cases. But of course, this is still very early, and you know, things may change as well.
And when you say things may change, does that mean the virus could potentially mutate?
Yes, of course, because the initial first step where it has mutated to jump from its original animal host to a human host already shows that these viruses are quite prone to mutation. So they could mutate, and that could help lead to, you know, easier spread among humans, for example. So at the moment, it looks like the spread between humans does occur, but it's fairly limited compared to certain other human infections like influenza or measles virus, which can spread very, very quickly amongst humans.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems to be somewhat less able to spread. But of course, the concern is that, you know, things may change, which cannot be easily predicted. There may be a lot more infections out there that nobody knows about because they haven't been diagnosed and so on.
I mean, with it being so unpredictable, what can disease control authorities really do to be one step ahead? Is it at all possible?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think the world has had a lot of practice dealing with these kind of emerging infections, particularly since, say, SARS, which was 2002, and where perhaps the initial response was a little bit slow and there was a bit of delay and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've had a lot of practice over the last 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had avian flu, SARS, MERS, coronavirus and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of things which governments, including Malaysia, already have those sort of steps in place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of adapting them for the new virus. So, for example, the surveillance systems to look for people who may have these infections, that includes things like airport screening, laboratory diagnosis. So, for example, the laboratories in China identified this virus really quickly, within less than a month of it actually appearing to cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, developing tests, closing down suspected sites, places where, you know, transmission occurred, so
like
they shut down
the market
very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying patients or possible patients, identifying their contacts to see how much spread there is human to human, and if you identify patients, isolate them. So there's many of these things which have been put in place, and then of course awareness and sharing information around the world. So, you know, within days, everybody around the world can kind of kickstart their sort of preparations for this. And and our Ministry of Health has done that. So they've already put out some guidelines and sent them to all the hospitals and healthcare workers so that we can prepare, you know, each institution can get their control measures in place and so on.
Okay, so what should a healthcare facility or a doctor do if, you know, they receive a patient with, I mean, the symptoms are so vague as well, fever, cough perhaps, what would be the first line of action?
Okay, so the first key thing is the case definition. So at the moment, that is somebody with fever or plus pneumonia or a severe respiratory infection who has been to Wuhan, or somebody with similar symptoms who has been in contact with a confirmed case of novel coronavirus.
Yep.
So that's the current case definition, but of course that can change because at the moment Wuhan is thought to be the only place where active transmission has occurred. So all the other places outside Wuhan, which now have cases, are all essentially imported from Wuhan.
Mm-hmm.
But of course that situation could easily change, especially now they're in China, there's lots of cases outside Wuhan. There may be transmission outside Wuhan as well. So once that case definition is identified, you need to have quite severe disease. So it's not just a bit of a runny nose and all that. Then you look at the MOH guidelines and they'll say you need to bring them in, isolate them, take appropriate tests, inform our public health authorities so that they can have a record of the cases and they can do contact tracing and so on. And then we have to do the diagnostics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And another very important thing about coronaviruses is that for MERS and SARS, there were cases that were also spread in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So from patients to healthcare workers and other patients. So a very, very important issue is that a patient who comes into hospital, the hospital must have those infection control procedures in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be putting them in an isolated room with special negative pressure and then, wearing masks and protective gear and all that.
I'm curious about the border screening. So the thermal scanners are meant to pick up people with fever. What happens after that?
So I think at the moment they are screening people from Wuhan. So if they have a fever and so forth, then they may be taken for medical examination and so on. And if it's felt that they may be fitting that case definition, then they may be taken to a hospital for further assessment. But for the vast majority of people, they'll be okay coming off the plane. And they'll all be given these information health cards which detail what symptoms they should look out for within the next 2 weeks since returning from Wuhan, and then it gives advice on what to do, seek medical care, tell the healthcare worker that you have got this travel history and so on.
Okay. Because, I mean, is it clear yet what the incubation period is for the virus?
It's up to 2 weeks. So that two-week cutoff has already been put in the guidance.
So does 2 weeks mean 2 weeks from the time a person is exposed to, say, a carrier?
Exposed to either, the market, whatever animal that... Yeah, so that exposure. But because nobody knows what the original animal is and nobody knows the extent of human-to-human transmission, so it just says 2 weeks from coming back from Wuhan. Because you don't know who that patient may have come into contact with, even on their last day in Wuhan, for example. Because there have been some patients reported who had not been to the market. That's why there is a likelihood that person-to-person transmission has occurred as well outside the market.
So I guess just precautions that we need to know about, and because everyone's just traveling a lot more these days, what would be some things that we should look out for, especially concerning coming into contact with people who've been to China or going to China ourselves, perhaps?
In terms of going to China, there's no travel restrictions at the moment. So not even to Wuhan, there's been no travel restrictions. So I think it's a pretty similar kind of general advice that you would give to anyone to avoid getting ill, which would be, avoid sick people, always wash your hands, try not to touch your eyes and your nose and so on. And if you're ill, if you have a cough and all that, to practice, good hygiene, cough into a tissue, which you should throw away appropriately and so on. But of course, the key thing I think for China is also not to come into contact with animals, live or dead. You can eat cooked meat, it's fine. It's more the kind of live. When I say dead animals, I mean
carcasses.
Yeah, so those would probably be things that I would definitely avoid.
Okay, so instances like these, really to stay away from wildlife and game.
Yeah.
So that was Professor Jamal Aiching Sam from the Department of Medical Microbiology from University of Malaya with a sort of a 101 on coronaviruses, helping us to understand what exactly this is. And it was interesting, right? Because, there's so many different types of coronaviruses and some of them are actually the ones that infect us with the common cold quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just very quickly from a business perspective, the Wuhan virus has also had an impact on shares and trading already. There was a rise rise in Chinese drug makers' shares yesterday. But conversely, shares of companies in the travel and hotel sectors dropped on fears of a hit to tourism over Chinese New Year, of course.
Yeah. Mm. And coming back to the disease, while there is no need for us to unduly panic right now, it's just a reminder that if you have just traveled back from Wuhan or you've come into contact with a confirmed case of someone having the Wuhan virus, the symptoms to look out for are fever and severe respiratory disease. Mm. So in which case you want to go to your nearest doctor or hospital right now to get yourself checked out.
Yes.
And don't spread fake news on WhatsApp that may unnecessarily cause panic.
Yes, we see that all the time, don't we? That's all the time we have for this story. We'll be back after the break for our second story. If you have anything you'd like to share on the Wuhan coronavirus, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or call us 03-7733-2900. First, here's Jackson Brown with Dr. My Eyes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.